141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 10 points separate Celtic and Rangers at the top after seeing off Aberdeen and Livingston respectively. Attention now turns to Europe with a trip to Copenhagen and the visit of Braga on the horizon. And Hamilton Accies will appeal the red card picked up by Jamie Hamilton in Saturday's game at Hearts. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans.
Now it's all about the result you didn't see coming. Celtic are 7 wins on the bounce, 10 points clear since the end of the winter break. The title is theirs to lose. Rangers have dropped 8 points since the end of the winter break. The title is out of their hands unless there are results you didn't see coming. If one of those results should push Rangers further behind Celtic, it's game, set and match. But there will now be a short intermission where we enjoy Europe. Bienvenue, welcome in, benvenuti.
What did you just say there, Gordon?
I've no idea. Mr. Yep. Worldwide, Hugh Keevans, speaking to you in a number of languages.
Good weekend of football there. Obviously 3 points apiece for the old firm. Hearts, rock bottom. As you rightly said, there'll be an appeal for young Hamilton after his red card. There'll be discussions about refereeing performances over the course of the weekend. But looking forward to the show, Gordon.
0141 951 1025. That's the number you need tonight at Clyde SSB if you would rather tweet. Big decisions to be made early on a Monday from you two. The pressure is on. What can you come up with? We have 3 categories for you. As always, give me your result of the weekend to kick things off.
I give you Arbroath 2, Queen of the South 0. The Dick Campbell show goes on in the Championship. He's now in the playoff places, part-time, out there beside the North Sea, but they are sailing.
I was going to go for Arbroath as well. I thought it was a brilliant result. However, I'm going for Cove Rangers. I thought to win late on gives them a 6-point gap at the top and a bit of manoeuvre over their closest rivals, Edinburgh.
I might need to mix this up because I always let him go first.
Sure.
And that means he steals
steals
your thunder. So yeah, maybe next week I'll flip it round.
Do you know the problem you have? He comes in at 3 o'clock in the day. So
that's doing him a disservice. He's in at midday. Goal of the weekend, Hugh Keevans.
Greg Doherty for Hibs against Kilmarnock. A beauty, a thing of beauty. Hibs are getting easier on the eye. Jack Ross is doing a great job. So well done, Greg Doherty.
You're pleased with this one, aren't you? You've done a bit of research for your goal of the weekend.
It's important, yeah. It's not just about watching a sports scene. It's about looking at the lower divisions as well, Hugo. And Daryl Duffy's 200th goal in his career. Ball down the line, centre half doesn't deal with it, and he lobs the keeper from 25 yards. I don't know why the keeper's diving, Gordon, because it's past him before he's even reacted. Brilliant goal. Congratulations, Darrow, on your 201st, because you got another goal as well in the game.
Stirling Albion fans everywhere delighted at such a prestigious award. And finally, the one which causes a bit more debate, your howler of the weekend. It can be a goalkeeping mistake, maybe a sitter, maybe a refereeing error, which we tend to get quite often. What's your howler of the weekend?
This will be the first and last time, probably, you'll ever be able to say this. Odson Edward. How did they miss that one at Pittodrie? I can truthfully say I would have scored that.
Yeah, because usually when people say that, they don't really mean it. But I think you might have. Really think you might have.
Even with the hush puppies on.
I think it's debatable.
Hush puppies. When was the last time hush puppies was said on Clyde One Super Scoreboard? I would guess never.
Oh,
there's a first for everything.
Even with the hush puppies, I would have delicately lifted that over Joe Lewis.
Anyway, Alex, your howler of the weekend.
Again, I'm going for the referees. I'll give you a little breakdown and then I'll give my winner. Ewan Anderson's and the officials' performance at Ibrox yesterday was poor. Kevin Clancy missing the penalty which should have been given. The Hibs player pulling Del Fabro to the ground. It was the boy Jackson pulled him to the ground. But and that was Alan Muir who missed that one. And I'm going to go for Greg Aitken. Inverness player gets sent off, James Keaton, for a simulation diving. It was the worst refereeing performance I've seen. The contact actually moves his body, Gordon, and to give him a second yellow. And thankfully, he can appeal it because he's obviously saying diving, which you can appeal. And he will most certainly get that overturned, 100%.
Yeah, this was against the Rangers Colts, wasn't it?
It was, yes, the challenge.
The Challenge Cup, so there we go.
Horrendous.
Big decisions to be made on a Monday night for these two. Just a bit of fun to kick us off. But what did you make of the weekend's action? 01419511025. And on Twitter, it's at Clyde SSB. Storm Dennis could be your howler of the weekend, quite literally, Hugh. Played a big part in what then became a dramatic Sunday, because the games were supposed to be split across the weekend. Celtic were supposed to be on Sunday from the off. Rangers supposed to be Saturday. That one was cancelled at Ibrox, and then they shifted it to the next day. So it was quite a dramatic weekend before we even got to any football, because we don't see that very often. And when it eventually did get underway, they both won, and the gap stays at 10 points.
Yeah, listen, well done to all concerned, not just Celtic, Rangers, Aberdeen and Livy, but everyone else. The Hibs-Kilmarnock game was enjoyable, albeit that the weather was horrendous. And all over, there were good games and plenty of goals. Now, as you say, it's all about that 10-point lead. I think it's insurmountable, but it's what you don't know that is often the most important thing. So as I say, if there's a result that you don't see coming, then that might alter things. However, I don't see one coming.
01419511025. Let's hear from you and get stuck into the weekend's big talking points. Let's start with the most recent game in Glasgow. Steven Gerrard says both teams did well to compete against conditions after that last minute change of date. He was disappointed in the officials, saying they had a good goal disallowed and they should have had a penalty as well.
Look, I think the preparation wasn't ideal. It never is when a game gets cancelled and moved 24 hours later. It's not ideal for both teams, but I thought both teams obviously made a real good game of it. Really pleased with the outcome. Obviously winning the game, you know, everyone knows we're not firing on all cylinders at the moment, so it's important that you get the job done and get over the line, and we did that today. But we could have done it more convincingly. Disappointed in the officials today, I must say. I think when they look at their performance back, I think they'll be disappointed. He got the second one just right, but normally that might go for you, but we accept that one. But Morelos' one's onside, and there's a stonewall penalty. Now, I don't like talking about officials, especially after a defeat, because you can look like the violin's out or you're looking for excuses. But after a win, I think the timing's right. I think I must say I was disappointed in them today.
Give us the football side of things first, Hugh. You know, the bigger picture, the outcome, the importance of the 3 points for Rangers.
Absolutely vital. Once Celtic, through Christopher Eyer, had scored their winning goal at Pittodrie, at Ibrox, the chill factor went up, and they had to get that result or else. I repeat, I think the Kilmarnock was the devastating blow for Rangers. However, after Celtic had won at Pittodrie, they had to win against Livingston. And I agree with Steven Gerrard. I think it was a stonewall penalty for Rangers. And I do think Alfredo Morelos was onside, and his goal should have been allowed to stand. Camberi marginally offside.
Alex, again, in terms of the importance of the result, yeah. People have got varying opinions on this. Some people will tell you that it's over, no chance, wrap it up now. Other people will tell you, don't be so ridiculous, there's a long way to go.
Yeah.
Can we just assume then, that I think what everyone will agree on, that Rangers absolutely couldn't afford to have dropped points yesterday, and therefore the win, regardless of how it came about, was crucial?
Yeah, I said before the game at Ibrox that if they had lost yesterday and it was a 13-point gap, for me it was finished. You know, that's just my opinion. I don't think Celtic are going to lose that amount of... All being that Rangers would have had a game in hand, I still think it would have been too much. They can't afford to make any more slip-ups. I actually said that before the Kilmarnock game as well. When you look at it, I just feel as if, you know, when you look how close both games were at the weekend, you can never legislate for the conditions, you know, which makes it that more difficult for teams that normally dominate. And then you also factor in that, you know, there's the odd poor refereeing decision. So I think there might be a bit of manoeuvre somewhere down the line. I said yesterday as well that Rangers have got St Johnston, Hamilton, Ross County before they get to Celtic. They have to win all them games, and they actually have to win at Ibrox when they play Celtic to try and reduce that gap. They can't afford to drop any more, Gordon.
John is a Rangers fan from Paisley, first up tonight. Hi, John.
Good evening, gentlemen. What can I say about referees? Right, incompetent. I'm getting bored with saying incompetent. Right. The word I can't say because I'm not allowed to say it, but it's bordering on starting with a letter C. To the fact that if you look at the last three games that we've played, come on, Bobby Madden, John Beaton, and then if you want to look back, and you can see they even themselves out, there is absolutely no protection at all for our players. I don't care. We're not playing well. That's not saying absolutely no protection. Have you seen some of the tackles yesterday? Tackles in Wednesday in the Hibs game. Absolutely horrendous.
Which ones in particular, John, just so we can try and get specific?
What ones in particular?
Yes.
At that minute, I can't count. Not mean.
Oh, there must be one that sticks out then. There must be one then. If there were so many, there must be one.
I think yesterday, somebody at the game, Gordon, the one that they would people would be complaining about
Davis,
was on Conor Goldson.
Davis.
You know, the one in Conor Goldson.
What about the one in Davis? What about the one through in Davis came through the back? And because Davis got back up and we get a corner kick, he didn't do nothing about it.
Yeah, I think it was very much
it's
robust.
Happened week in and week out. It's happened week in and week out. Wednesday night was the exact same. How many times, do you know what I mean, in decisions? Handball, Dicker dies, Morelos dies, one gets booked, one doesn't he?
Did you feel the tackle on Conor Goldson deserved a red card, John? Is that one that falls into your category?
See, red card or no red card, it's a protection for people. It's happened week in and week out. Morelos, I mean, the rugby tackle with Lewis Stevenson. Right, and then Lewis Stevenson had off Jordan Jones 2 minutes later.
Yeah, but when you say protection, John, refs can't do anything about it before the challenge happens. So you have to rely on them dishing out the suitable punishment. That's where the protection comes from. So that's the only reason I ask you, John Guthrie on Conor Goldson, was it a red or a yellow? What do you think? What should
I'd
it have
probably
been?
Say a red. It's probably a red. But Alex, not just that, Davis, people going through the back of people. Is it not illegal to tackle people from behind and coming through, and then when the ball goes away, just you're not allowed to book them after it?
I think bad challenges for all clubs, not just Rangers and not just Celtic, bad challenges are part of it, and bad refereeing is equally a part of it. So I don't think that Rangers have been singled out, victimised, any word you care to use. Rangers' problems are more about the drop in form since the end of the winter break. But as I said,
I'm not on about that, Hugh.
As I've said,
I never come on to moan about my team, Hugh.
I've never asked you to moan about your team. I'm just pointing out that Rangers' problems run deeper than referees who make bad decisions. Bad decisions, sadly, are to be witnessed all over the place in our Premiership.
John, do you know, when I was looking, and I think Rangers have had a couple of really poor calls recently. I said last week against Kilmarnock, I thought it was a handball because it was above his head. I look at it at the weekend, pretty similar. You know, the arm's extended, it's up by the shoulder arm, it's shoulder area. For me, that's a no-brainer. They are clear-cut to me. However, I am looking at four different scenarios over the course of the weekend. There'll be four different referees, which I said was my howler of the weekend. And when you look at it, I think you will find that most people at other clubs are moaning. And I think that's a bigger issue. And how we improve that, I have no idea, because they seem to get the same game after game after game, regardless of these key decisions.
John, what about the football? How important a win was it?
Oh, come on, you know it's important for us. Can I get back to you?
You can answer any question tonight, John.
Wait a minute,
can I get back to you?
Yeah.
You see there, Rangers, I never come on here to talk about Rangers' problems. I come on to talk about refereeing decisions. So could you please, don't bring Rangers' problems into this. This is about the decisions.
Hugh, for goodness sake, will you just please say what John wants you to say, Hugh?
Good night.
No, come on. He wants you to talk ref. Don't bring anything else into it. Refereeing decisions only.
Well, John is making a case out for Rangers being victimised. And as you rightly pointed out, you can't get protection for players when the referee doesn't know what's going to happen. So the referee can get a yellow card or a red card, right or wrong, but he can't offer protection before something has happened. And I go back to it, if you care to analyse every Premiership game from every weekend, you'll find tackles that should have gone with a greater punishment than was given out. But Rangers and the whole scenario surrounding the league is not about referees failing to give Rangers players protection.
Craig is also a Rangers fan on the line on a similar theme, I would imagine. Hi, Craig.
Hi, gents. How are we doing?
Good, thanks.
This is my theme. I mean, I heard Gerrard's comments yesterday after the game, and they did baffle me a bit, because, you know, when your team aren't playing well and the players are poor and there's an issue, absolutely, I'm all for, you know, you've got to, at times, criticise them, and he's done that. But when he said that, you know, he doesn't want to come out and criticise a refereeing performance after they've lost a game because, you know, it doesn't want to be seen as sour grapes, that to me is just, that is stupid. Because if the referees make a poor decision and it costs you points, you've got to, you can't ignore it. After the game on Wednesday against Kilmarnock, where John Beaton had a nightmare. I mean, Kilmarnock's goal, the first goal, I think it was the first goal, shouldn't stand. Yeah, couldn't stand. That's a handball. Morelos gets pushed in the box. That is a penalty kick. John Beaton then chops off Morelos' goal later in the game for what he says is, you know, the same thing when it's a clear dive by the Kilmarnock defender. Then on Sunday, we've then been, had a goal chopped off that should have stood. You know, I saw back the Canberra goal. The referee did get that one correct, so fair play. But the Morelos goal should have stood, and there should be a Stonewall penalty. I'm not going to come on and say that, you know, Rangers poor form, it's all, but the referee, it's not. You know, Rangers have been poor as well and have not stepped up to the plate since the season started back. But this whole season, there have been major decisions that could have shifted it another way. I mean, you go back to the League Cup final. If Celtic, the last two goals Celtic have scored against Rangers shouldn't have stood. But if that goal doesn't stand as it rightly shouldn't, and Rangers can win the cup. Now, I know.
Just to interrupt, Craig, because I don't actually think anyone disagrees on all those decisions you've mentioned. I think we've got almost agreement across the board from the pundits that they were mistakes. What is it you want Steven Gerrard to do differently? Because you say you should have had a penalty yesterday and Morelos' goal should have stood. Steven Gerrard said that. He said he was disappointed in the officials. He said the result would have been more convincing if it wasn't for the officials. So how did they not criticise them?
I think the Kilmarnock thing is the thing that's wrangling with.
We've had another game in between.
There's two different responses, Gordon. That's his point and the caller's point. There was a different response saying the defenders should have did better, they should have dealt with it better, rather than say it's a handball and it's cost us.
Right, you,
I thought he got it wrong last week as
Craig,
well.
Craig started off by saying he heard Stephen Gerrard's comments yesterday and found them baffling. I thought you meant in particular, in isolation, yesterday's comments were baffling. What was baffling about them?
No, what was baffling about them was, just as Alice was in there, was the fact that on Wednesday night, he completely just seemed to pay. Because after the game when he came out and gave his comments Wednesday, I was expecting that he was going to mention these poor decisions, and he just completely paved over them as if they were inconsequential to the game.
But do you not need to pick your moments sometimes, Craig? And I couldn't second guess Steven Gerrard. I don't know what he's thinking is, but when you see your team dropping points, sometimes as a manager, you need to send a message to your players and think, right, what's the priorities here? If I come out and I list off refereeing decisions and make out that we were really hard done by, maybe that seems like it lets the players off the hook, where he wants to send a message to them and say that they're the ones that need to improve. Is that not possible?
No, I get that. And listen, I do think as well, you know, with the decisions, I don't think it's about teams. I think there are the referees in this country will let certain players and individual players off with things that other players don't. I mean, the amount of times, I mean, I've seen a handful of games this season where Alan Piller, who always goes in ferociously for Kumar, could quite easily have found himself in the end of the red card. Include games against Celtic in that as well, by the way. But and yet, you see other challenges, you know, with Griffith's stamp on the Hamilton boy. Again, should have been a red card, and if it was Morelos, and I spoke to a few Celtic fans who said the same thing, the referee would have been straight in his pocket for the red card. So the referees have to, across the board, not just with teams, but with players as well, treat everyone the same. It can't be that if one player does it, it's not a red card or it's not a foul, but as a foul, if the other player does it.
Again, though, Craig, I think everybody agrees, all the incidents you list off, but where is this getting us? I mean, you mentioned Alan Power, so what does that mean? Are referees in favour of Alan Power? Have we now got a pro Kilmarnock conspiracy, Hugh? I didn't think such a thing existed.
Well, again,
since when was Alan Power a guy that was held up as being
again, as Craig has said, he's not against the idea that Alan Power and Celtic should have been a red card. The tackle on Jeremy Frimpong, from which he still has not returned to first team play, but they are treating everyone the same. They're inefficient with everybody.
Craig, thank you very much. It's 0141 951 1025. Neil Lennon has been speaking after the win at Pittodrie. We're going to hear from him next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Alex Ray is here and Hugh Keevans is alongside him as we try our best to digest some of the big talking points from the weekend's football and the season's football. We've done as many refereeing incidents as we can so far, Hugh. I'm sure there will be many more to add to the list as the show goes on. Let's hear a bit from Neil Lennon. He says the win against Aberdeen at Pittodrie was massive. Delighted with the way they ground out the result. Says a change of system was key to their victory.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. This is a massive win in, you know, treacherously difficult conditions to play football. So, you know, credit, all credit goes to the players. They dug out a marvellous result for us. You know, you can't always play, you know, slick, quick football. And we had to grind it out today.
How important did you feel that sort of change of system well in the second half was?
Yeah, I think it worked quite well for us, like, you know, and then we started creating good opportunities. You know, Johnny's had a great chance, and then we score, and then Austin's had a great chance. So, you know, definitely the change helped the players, there's no question of that.
It was obviously a really tough day for the players, but the quality in that winning goal was quite something, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, James, he's opened the pitch right up, and then the pass is perfectly weighted, and, you know, big Chris game. Times was under perfection, and, you know, showed a lot of composure to finish it off. It was a great goal. And an important goal, you know. We didn't want to drop points, obviously, but it was looking like it. And, you know, a point with Pittodrie sometimes can be a decent result, you know. In these conditions, you know, the game could have went either way, but, you know, we've come up with a really important piece of football.
The Celtic supporters were looking at that fixture, and although Celtic's record in the last 4 years at Pittodrie has been second to none, they're looking at that one and thinking, that could be a place where a point, might, 2 points might be dropped, or even three. So when Ayer came up with that belated goal, I think the Celtic supporters thought, this is a big moment in the title. A big moment. And I'm quite sure that the Rangers supporters at Ibrox, when it went in, must have felt, that was a chance gone. Because it's before the break now, Celtic have got Kilmarnock at Celtic Park, Livingston away, St Mirren at Celtic Park, and then the Rangers game. You know, so as I say, it's the result that you didn't see coming that is the important one now. But Kilmarnock, St Mirren, Livy, Celtic in their current form would think that they could take 9 points from nine prior to Ibrox.
A massive win, says Neil Lennon. What about Mark in Hamilton? Was it massive for you, Mark?
Hi, Gordon, Hugh and Alex, how are we doing?
Good, Mark. Thanks.
I'm talking about the game yesterday, a great result, just what you were saying there. But, most concerned about the two lads still playing in the centre-back, Ayer and Julian. Mm. Very lightweight yet, the two of them. I think I would play the 4-2-3-1 on Thursday night, just to see what the lads thought about that.
One particular, elaborate a bit more on what's wrong with them, Mark, because I don't think you're alone. I think loads of people look at individual moments within games and think that they could be better. But on the other hand, I think Celtic have conceded 4 goals in 9 games since they came back. So it doesn't strike you as an overly leaky defence, does it?
They'll be better positioning that. Like yesterday's goal for Ayer, he dives in and there he's mapping. I think it's Taylor that scored the goal last Taylor.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He's meant to be mapping him.
They are a bit of an enigma, the pair of them. You know, Ayer, after a fairly ordinary day, scores the winning goal. Christopher Julien has scored very important goals, including one that won a cup final. But I said on Friday night, and it's always met with the same response, you know, I said that they have a mistake in them. On an individual basis, Ayer and Julien have a mistake in them. But you're right, Gordon, to come back and say, well, only 4 goals have been lost. But there are big days and nights to come, and they do need to get a bit more solid. I do think that Celtic should have bought another central defender in the January window.
Yeah, I think when you look at Beaton can play in the back, you've got Simunovic, who's decent when you can get him fit. They're relatively strong, whether they wanted to carry another centre-half, effectively five, but there is a mistake in them, there's no two ways about that. However, I think when you look at what they bring to the table, middle to front, they have so much more than the rest. And when you look at the bench, that is, it must be brilliant for, and he says it himself, the actual substitutions in the last few weeks have actually really helped Celtic. And as that game was wearing on, Gordon, I was talking to a pal of mine today, and he says, you always get the feeling that Celtic are going to nick something, even though they're not playing well. And they tend to do it time after time. And that's the reason why they've won so many titles, because they always find a way to get the job done.
I think the interesting thing, Hugh, about, you know, this idea that tougher tests lie ahead, and of course they do, is part of the question mark that hangs over guys like Christopher Julian, is he actually, so far this season, seems to have showed up better in the big games, in the big tests. It seems to be these ones that, you know, Livingston away and Hamilton away, it seems to be some of the smaller games actually where he has his ropier moments.
You're absolutely right. St Mirren away, toiling badly.
Yeah, you know, but I'm thinking Lazio in games like that.
That's the other side of the coin. Yeah, he scores the goal in the cup final, did well in the cup final. And, you know, when Celtic needed a goal at Kilmarnock after the break, he came up with a good one there, etc, etc. It is simply, and I think Mark shares the feeling, it is simply that nagging doubt that at some point either he or Ayer will let themselves and therefore the team down.
Why do you want to go four at the back on Thursday then, Mark? Because ultimately they two would still play, I would imagine. So
no, I can understand that, Gordon. I know that, but I just feel, well, according to papers, there's two big lads that play up front for us, Copenhagen. So that's the kind of concern for myself, that that's very lightweight, as I say to you. They can get pushed about dead easy. I know they've got to play the two of them, but I just think a wee bit more secure with playing the four at the back rather than the three.
Celtic shape is fascinating, yeah, Alex, because loads of people are putting their success this year down to the fact that they changed to 3-5-2. You then hear Neil Lennon speaking, and the reason they won the game yesterday is when they switched back. So is it actually more about the fluidity, the way that they're able to do one or the other, rather than picking one which is best?
I actually think it's a real big bonus for them, because they have that flexibility, Gordon, whereas if it was just a 4-4-2, then you obviously try and pick your holes and how you're going to actually combat that. I think they'll probably go back to four. Mark, I'm looking at the personnel available to Celtic would you put Ayer at right back then, beat on Julian, and who would be the left back? Would it be Hayes or would it be Taylor?
Well, Taylor's injured by the looks of it, isn't he?
I think
it'd be Hayes before Ballingolly as well. I don't know if that lad's fat or not, but no matter what, at left back.
See, the more that this actually transpires, they may well go with a three when I think about it, Gordon, because of, you know, the it's worked well for them. Johnny Hayes gives you more going forward than a defensive than Taylor's. If he's obviously pulled his hamstring, which it looked like he did yesterday when he made the gesture to say his time was up. So and then you've obviously got the right hand side. Jamesy Forrest has been doing a great job in that right hand berth as well. So I think he may well go with a three now when I look at the personnel available, Gordon.
Yeah, Neil Lennon's also hailing the character, the resilience. He says they thought they might need to settle for a point, but positive change has helped.
That's a good sign. You know, they've got a bit of character and they've got bit of resilience, and they're a team, and there's good solidarity within them, and they keep going, and there's the fitness levels are good as well. So they're not getting ahead of ourselves with a lot of football yet to play, but you know, in the context of the run that we're on, it's a big win. Just wanted to keep the run going, and I wanted to appreciate them making a long track early in horrible conditions. You know, appreciate everything that they bring us, especially the Wales fans, who were magnificent today. Even at 1-1, you know, the game wasn't going, could have went either way. Our fans were making a lot of noise, so it's just appreciation to them.
Did you think you'd meet yourself for a point in 10 matches ago?
Sometimes, yeah. You think, well, it's not the worst in the world, you know, point away from home at a tough place, but, you know, we were always trying to think of getting a goal, you know, and the subs that we brought on, you know, your Rodgers, your Christies, you know, they're the ones that can create something. You know, forward-thinking players. So that was in our thoughts as well.
Alec was talking about speaking to a pal earlier on today, who said to him that you always get the feeling that Celtic would still, no matter how ordinary they may be during a game, they'll always nick one. A year ago today, and I owe social media for this one, but a year ago today at Kilmarnock, last minute of the game, Scott Brown, the ball may have ricocheted its way into the net, but it gave Celtic a remarkable 2-1 win and more or less won the league for Celtic. So this is not a new thing. This is a recurring theme. And this is why you get to 8 titles in a row, 10 domestic trophies in a row. They simply don't know when they're done.
Let's speak to Scott, who is a Celtic fan from Burmullock. Thanks to Mark and Hamilton before him, but this is Scott. Hi, Scott.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Scott. Good. two quick points. The first one was with Christopher Isle and Christopher Julian. I think it was the last caller there. He was giving them a hard time for losing the goal yesterday. If the callers like to look back on it, and you'll find out that the two centre-halves you mentioned were actually marching the boy Curtis Main and Niall McGinn further tucked in. They weren't giving the cover for the wide right player that was playing in a five-man midfield at the time.
Are you sure it wasn't Ayer to begin with, though, Scott? Because, I mean, Ash Taylor and I, you know, you'd expect centre-halves to match up with the other big guys.
Yeah, but if you watch him, Ayer's got to push inside nearer to the ball, where the ball's coming into. Do you bear in mind that the ball bypassed both the players in the middle and went to Ash Taylor standing himself? Ayer went to mark a man. So, to be fair, it's hard to blame the two guys when they've got left the three men to mark. And there's only two of them. So you go to where the ball is, unfortunately, and the ball bypassed both of them. So they're a bit unfortunate in that. But these guys have gave us a great defensive wall this season. Yeah, they've had their blips. Name me a centre-half in the world that didn't make a mistake. John Stones, what's he, 50 million? We paid, what, 450 grand for Big Ayer, 7 million for Big Julian.
Yeah, but all your fellow Celtic supporter was trying to do was say that he had reservations about the two of them, and he's entitled to say that. Now, the whataboutery that brings John Stones into this baffles me. He was a Celtic supporter.
Scott's just trying to point out, though, that all defenders make mistakes, so is it not logical to assume that certainly defenders at our level will make mistakes?
Well, of course, but we're discussing Ayer and Julian. John Stones has got nothing to do with this.
I think it does, though, if you're trying to make the point that all defenders make mistakes.
Well, for me,
on you go.
I mean, true. All I'm saying is, look up the trophies. If you pay 60 million for a defender, you'll make a mistake. Pay 5 million for a defender, he'll make a mistake. Pay 20 pence for a defender, he'll make a mistake. Every defender's got a mistake in them. That central back pair have got us to the top of the league. They've put us 13 points clear just now. Bearing in mind, Rangers get a game in hand. What else can they do? 10 points clear. Okay, 10 points clear.
The point I'd make to you, the reason why I think Celtic should have signed a central defender in the January window is to put Ayer and Julian under pressure for their place. They know that they are going to play week in, week out regardless. But competition is healthy. And if there's another central defender there that you know is putting your place under threat, it sharpens you up a bit.
I think we're kind of done with the debate over the January window, given that it was a few weeks ago. Let's try and keep it at the moment to this weekend, Alex. It's funny how Hugh mentions Odson Edouard being his howler of the weekend, because you don't see sitters like that very often from him. What about the part he played in what turned out to be the winning goal? And it was a fair old move from Celtic in the end, under difficult conditions, wasn't it?
Without doubt. And I think when you look at it, you know, James Forrest gets a lot of stick on this programme. I'm one of the guys who actually kind of, his performance levels over the last couple of years have been remarkable. So when it dips a little bit, he's still performing well for me. He is always a mainstay for Neil Lennon. The fact that he's carried the ball, the weight of the pass, and Big Ayers runs magnificent. I said yesterday when I seen it on the TV, I thought, oof, what you talk about desire to make a difference, change the game. You know, you can talk about all the subs you want. This guy's got a desire to burst in his own half, got up and that outside, and the quality of finish was brilliant as well, because Lewis was out making himself big, and he just wraps it into that near post. I thought it was a brilliant goal.
Thank you for the call, Scott. This is a good time to get in touch with us, because we're going to get some travel with Stephen, and then we could be speaking to you next. So give us a call right now, 0141 951 1025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Monday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan. It's 0141 951 1025. At Clyde SSB. Gary Winchester sent us a tweet. He says, thank God for that last caller. I'm sick of hearing the panel belt the old cliche about how bad the Celtic defence is and how her players have mistakes in them. Every player has a mistake in them, says Gary. Gary Winchester on Twitter, at Clyde SSB.
And therefore, if every player has a mistake in them, that must include Julian and Ayer.
I'm sure it was a Celtic fan that called up.
Yes.
You know, we were really
initially,
responding to
yes.
that. Yeah.
01419511025. That's the number you need if you would rather tweet like Gary did. Then you can find us at Clyde SSB. Mick Ward pointing out quite rightly as well. He says Julian was man of the match yesterday against Maine, and then Cosgrove. Aberdeen crossed the ball all day long, says Mick on there. The weather wreaked havoc. One of those weekends where perhaps just getting the points is the priority. I don't suppose it was the conditions conducive to free-flowing attacking football anywhere.
And therefore, Celtic getting the 3 points at Pittodrie was even more of an achievement. And for everyone who got a win, it was even more of an achievement because you had to beat Mother Nature as well as the 11 guys opposing you.
Yeah, let's speak to Brian, who's a Rangers fan from Coatbridge. Hi, Brian.
Hello, sir.
Hi, what's on your mind
today? I was trying to phone the other night. Remember when Rangers lost to Kilmarnock?
Yes.
And a lot of people were saying about Steven Gerrard. And basically what I want to say is I admire the pundits. I've not phoned for a long time. Last time I talked to Hugh, it was about getting some sort of standing in stadiums, and he went on about all seated stadiums are the way ahead. I tried to argue the toss of the coin. It didn't work. Maybe that'll jog his memory how long ago that was, many years ago. But anyway, the problem is Steven Gerrard, nobody could have foreseen that Celtic were going to do the same as Liverpool and go in 24 games, not unbeaten, but basically 24 games, 5 games in Europe, more or less, unbeaten. Neil Lennon could only have dreamt of that kind of thing. And at the end of the day, you've got to take your hat off to Celtic that they've managed to do that. But you've got to take your hat off to Steven Gerrard as well, because at the end of the day, for a long time, he managed to hang on in there. And at the end of the day, everybody, we are now a lot closer to Celtic than we've been at any time. And the Rangers fans just need to appreciate the fact that we're on the right road. It might not be as quick as we like, but we're on the right road.
To be fair to your fellow Rangers fans, Brian, I think anyone who is concerned is just really pointing out the fact that what you said there's not really true, because the gap, well, there wasn't one, and now it's 10 points. So you're not closer than you have been any time.
What I'm trying to say, closer to Celtic, sir. Closer to Celtic. We give Celtic a game now. We were getting beat 4-0, 5-0. There was no fun in it. They were beating us for fun. We're now managing to hold our own or even beat them.
Oh, yeah, Alex, I don't think there's any doubt about the head-to-heads, Hugh, is there? I don't think there's any doubt about that.
No, but Steven Gerrard, vastly experienced player that he was and football man that he is, will understand the basic law of the jungle. You need to win something. You can be closer to Celtic than you were, but until you overtake Celtic and win one of their trophies, because they've won the last 10, until that time comes along, Steven Gerrard is under scrutiny, because he's there with a purpose in mind, and he was hired with one purpose in mind, and that was to stop Celtic winning 10 in a row. You can come at it from whichever way you like. That's why he was hired.
The comments that Steven Gerrard made after the game, Alex, this is Glasgow, so we tend to focus on what he said about referees. That's just the way of the world. What he did also say was that they're not firing on all cylinders at the moment, regardless of that win yesterday. So with that taken into account, how important was it just to get that job done?
Yeah, without doubt, Gordon. I think you have to respond after Celtic went up to Pittodrie and nicked the 3 points and get back down the road. Hard fought, and I think he's right. You know, they are not firing all cylinders. Listen, we see this week after week. I think Steven Gerrard, in the main, calls it as he is. He doesn't try and sugarcoat it. Having covered the game yesterday, they created numerous chances. And for me, they have to be a lot more clinical. But we don't want to go over all ground again. They do a goal that should have stood, and for me, it was a stonewall penalty, which would have made it that little bit easier, because once it's that close, there's an anxiety about the place, Gordon, because you feel as if...
Could you sense that yesterday when you were there?
Without a doubt, without a doubt. And you could see it when, I think, Dolly Menga came on, and they went with two up top, Livy, started going a little bit more direct, and I think the Rangers... Steven Gerrard will be disappointed. They have to be more dominant when these big guys come on, these robust guys, and with I think we are talking about 2 or 3 inches the other way, and Lyndon Dykes equalises, and it's a totally different programme tonight, that's for sure.
Yeah, the one that hit the post. Yeah.
Rangers meet Braga on Thursday, and it's going to be a vastly entertaining game. And Alex Wright, can't wait. It'll be terrific entertainment, I am sure. And what Steven Gerrard has done with Rangers in a European context has been first class. However, This is Planet Scotland. This is the west of Scotland. He was hired with one purpose in mind, and that's to stop Celtic. And until such times as that is done, he's under scrutiny.
How are you feeling now about the rest of the season, Brian? Where are you? Well, I know there's varying degrees of confidence or lack of amongst Rangers fans at the moment. How are you feeling?
I feel that basically like when Martin O'Neill beat Rangers, they went 7 points clear, and it basically ended, there was no hope. Hope comes from somewhere, and I hope Steven Gerrard finds that, because at the end of the day, football is just one of those things. Right now, Celtic are like Liverpool. Nobody's sacking Man City manager Pep Guardiola. At the end of the day, the way it goes is simple. Celtic are on tremendous run now, and the truth of the matter is, hats off to them, but all good things come to an end.
And that's why I say it's the result that you didn't see coming that's important.
Absolutely.
If Kilmarnock went to Celtic Park on Saturday, Sunday, and got a point or even three, you certainly didn't see that coming. Or if Celtic go to Livingston, where they have already lost this season, you wouldn't see a second defeat to Livy coming. But it's what you don't know that is often the most important thing. However, if the result that you didn't see coming affects Rangers, then it's game, set and match.
We saw more of Florian Kamberi than we have.
We did too, yeah.
Alex, how did he look? Would you maybe expect to see a bit more of him?
Yeah, without doubt. I thought he made a big impact, Gordon. He was really sharp. He was really bright. He was looking to get a kind of understanding with Morelos, try to play around the corner, little step overs, you know, the ball through from Morelos. If he had released it half a second earlier, it would have been a perfectly timed run, and his finish was absolutely sublime. So, you know, I think there was enough positives to give Steven Gerrard a lot of food for thought. Now, there's been players come on in recent weeks and you're thinking, ooh, same as, you're going to go with the same stuff because they haven't really impacted. And I think the fact that he got just over 30 minutes may well have been an added bonus, because you're looking at Greg Stewart coming on in the 80-odd minute and Aribo, well, we know what he can do, but you're looking for guys to make an impact in such a short period of time, whereas Kamberi most certainly, you know, made his cell known to the manager, and I think you might actually see him play come Thursday night, possibly.
Yeah, clearly one of the positives. On the flip side of that then, is it safe to say some Rangers fans would still be looking for a bit more from the likes of Ryan Kent, who came off early to make way for him?
Yeah.
And maybe even by his own high standards, Alfredo Morelos not scoring quite as many at the moment as he usually does.
Yeah, I think, well, let's start with Ryan Kent. I think the boy's off form. You know, his body language is not great. He had a great opportunity to score when he went on a 1v1, skips past the defender, gone goal gaping, doesn't even make the keeper work, doesn't hit the target. Morelos, a different proposition for me. He is still getting in positions. You know, he scored on Wednesday, you know, obviously ruled out for the push. Scored yesterday, so
ruled out again.
Still very thin margins for me.
Okay.
And he is a number one.
Brian in Coatbridge, thank you very much for the call. It's time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time, and it's an extra special Beat the Pundit this week, because all this week, just for coming on, you don't even need to get a single question right. Just for coming on, we're giving you a pair of tickets to an evening with Larson, Sutton and Hartson at the SSE Hydro on the 4th of May. It's the first time the three Celtic legends have been on stage together, so it's either the perfect night out for you if you're a Celtic fan, or the ideal gift if you're not, for the Celtic fan in your life. So 0141 951 1025, that's the number you need to play Beat the Pundit. The tickets are yours if you get on to play, and you need to call us before 7 o'clock.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to thompsons.com.
Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans here, looking back on all the weekend's big talking points. Another busy weekend across the leagues in Scottish football. We've got European action coming back. We're hopefully going to have a Scottish Cup replay tomorrow if the weather doesn't have other ideas. So we'll take a look at Motherwell against St Mirren after we do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time, and all this week, a special prize for you on Beat the Pundit, just for getting through. You don't even need to get a question right. As long as you get on, we're giving you a pair of tickets to an evening with Larson, Sutton and Hartson at the Hydro on the 4th of May. It's the first time the three of them have been on stage together, so if you're a Celtic fan, you will be falling over yourself to get there. And if you're not, I'm sure you'll know one who would absolutely love to go along. So let's meet tonight's contestant. He's Graham from Bishop Briggs. How are you, Graham?
I'm not so bad, Gordon.
Good stuff. Good evening. And the tickets are yours already, Graham. So I don't know, are you going to go along? Are you going to give them to someone else? You're a winner anyway.
I'll probably give them to somebody else. Thanks very much,
Doc. That's fine. We know the way team rivalries work in this part of the world too. Beat the Pundit is a random competition, so that's the way it works. But someone will go and someone will be a very lucky winner. So let's see who you're up against tonight, Graham. Heads, it's Hugh. Tails, it is Alex. And it is Tails. Alex against Graham from Bishop Briggs. So going to give Alex some Clyde 2 to listen to, and that way he can't hear us anymore. Graham, you have 30 seconds. Head to head, you can pass. Here's your chance to beat the Pundit. Are you ready?
Okay.
Right, let's do it. Who were the last team to beat Celtic in the League Cup?
Pass.
What country are Braga from?
Portugal.
Who's the top league scorer outside the Old Firm in Scotland?
Sam Cosgrove.
Who won the Scottish Cup more recently, Motherwell or St Mirren?
Motherwell.
Where did Celtic sign Jozo Simunovic from?
Pass.
Who was the last player to score a hat-trick in the Scottish Premiership?
Hudson Edwards.
Rangers centre-back Philippe Hollander plays for which country?
Sweden.
Okay. Alex Ray, can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Same set of questions to you. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who were the last team to beat Celtic in the League Cup?
Hearts.
What country are Braga from?
Portugal.
Who is the top league scorer outside of the Old Firm in the Premiership?
Christie.
Who won the Scottish Cup more recently, Motherwell or St Mirren?
St Mirren.
Where did Celtic sign Jozo Simunovic from?
Pass.
Who was the last player to score a hat-trick in the Scottish Premiership?
Edward.
Rangers centre-back Philippe Hollander plays for which country?
Hollander, Swedish.
Okay. Graham, you've already won the tickets. How are the chances of adding a signed ball to that? What do you think?
I think it's close. Might be a draw.
I think it is close. I don't think it's a draw. Who were the last team to beat Celtic in the League Cup, Hugh?
Motherwell.
Ross County. Oh, in 2016.
When you think about it. The famous semi-final, isn't it?
Well, one of them. Which country are Braga from? It's Portugal. You both got it. The top scorer outside of the Old Firm.
Well, don't let me forget.
So it's not Ryan Christie.
Oh, it'll be Cosgrove.
It is Cosgrove.
Yeah.
Unsurprisingly.
Ta-da!
Graham got it. Well done to Graham. He goes into a 2-1 lead. He then goes into a 3-1 lead. Oof. 50-50 chance. Who's won the cup? Scottish Cup more recently, Motherwell or St Mirren? Only 4 years in it. Motherwell in 91, St Mirren 87. Where did Celtic sign Jozo Simunovic from? It was Dinamo Zagreb back in 2015. So it's still 3-1 to Graham at this stage. Who was the last player to score a hat-trick in the Premiership? You both went for Edward. If you had got this right, I would have been amazed. Lyndon Dykes.
Oh.
21st of December. Philippe Hollander plays for Sweden. He's got 11 caps. You both knew it. And I'm afraid, Alex, you definitely ran out of questions. A 4 for Graham, a 2 for you, and the sign ball is on its way to Bishop Briggs. Well done, Graham.
Well played,
thanks
mate.
Thanks so much, Hablines, Alex. Cheers.
Ah, well done, mate.
Good man. You're giving away balls like there's no tomorrow at the moment. Alex Ray, the latest producer, Andy, holds his head in his hands. The budget is taking a doing on the sign balls. And not only that, Graham wins the tickets to the evening with Larson, Sutton and Hartson at the SSE Hydro on the 4th of May. We're going to give tickets away all this week on Beat the Pundit, so make sure you stay tuned. And if you'd rather not take your chances, the tickets are still available. Head to the SSE Hydro website and you could buy them and go along. Not a bad trio, Hugh, I'm sure you'll agree.
Well, I can only imagine that the Celtic fans will flock to that particular night. Henrik Larsson, I can think of no player held in higher esteem by the Celtic supporters. So it's a big night.
01419511025. That is the number you need. Let's speak to David, who's an Aberdeen fan from Brimhouse. Hi, David.
Hello there. Good evening, gentlemen.
How are you?
Fine. I'm good, thanks. I used to be David from Shepperton, but I moved a couple of miles further east along to
Brimhouse. That's fine. That's not far.
You're on the show a couple of times before as David from Shepperton.
The artist formerly known as.
Yes.
What's your point tonight, David?
Well, thanks. I've heard a couple of unhappy Rangers fans phoning up yesterday and today and criticising the referees, and there was a fan yesterday, you know, criticising Aberdeen for trying too hard against Rangers and not against Celtic. Obviously, having seen Celtic winning at Pittodrie yesterday, but I mean, we've not only struggled against Celtic over the last 4 years at Pittodrie, I think St Johnstone have been to Pittodrie about 10 times in the last 4 years, and they've come away with wins or draws, maybe 8 out of those
visits. So, you know, we struggle a lot against a lot of teams, including Rangers. But I think the Rangers fans have to look at Steven Gerrard and maybe think back to the beginning of last season when they made that famous comment, you know, we were a class above Aberdeen today at the one-each draw. And since then, Gerrard has really struggled badly against us. His head-to-head record against Aberdeen since he's been in that post is actually really quite bad. There's been 10 games, 6 of those played in Glasgow. Gerrard has beaten Aberdeen 3 times. There's been 4 draws, and McInnes has beaten Gerrard 3 times. So I think that is the root of the problem. And I think his words about being a class a bit against Aberdeen, I think that's provided ongoing motivation for Aberdeen, you know, on top of the rivalry that's already there. I don't know what the panel think of that.
If I remember correctly, and David, you can tell me if I'm wrong, that was after Steven Gerrard's very first game in charge of Rangers.
The league game, yeah.
And I think he made comments that day that were ill-advised when he spoke about a history of problems against Aberdeen where referees were concerned and so on and so forth. They were ill-advised. I don't know whether he was speaking his own mind or whether people had put ideas into his mind. What I will say about Steven Gerrard since then, I think he's analytical in his post-match press conferences. I think he's candid and I think he's extremely honest. He doesn't sugarcoat. When his team's bad, they get it in the neck and then some. However, I do take your point that, ironically, since Derek McInnes turned down the Rangers job, he has been a far bigger problem to Rangers than anyone could have imagined. He's knocked them out of cup competitions. He's deprived them of points. Valuable league points. He has been a one-man denial show where Rangers have been concerned. It's ironic, but I don't think that what Steven Gerrard says is as important as how Steven Gerrard's team plays. For me, it's about what happens on the park, and they haven't been good enough against Aberdeen,
no,
and they haven't won a trophy in his 2 seasons, and that's why I like him a lot. I commend him for his honesty and candour and his perfect analysis of games, but he's under scrutiny until he wins a trophy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I looked at our results against Rangers last season, and privately in the summer I said to a fellow Aberdeen fan, I think we'll struggle to take any points off Rangers this season, because I looked at them adding, you know, spending many million pounds more in defenders, Ryan Kent as well, and you think, OK, they're taking it up another level here, but we've drawn with them the last 2 games, and they're still struggling against us. And I think those words that he said at the beginning of last season after that one each draw his first game, they're definitely still haunting him, because, you know, it was naive and it was inexperienced. I agree that he is quite refreshingly honest at times, and he's maybe learning. He is an inexperienced manager, you know, despite everything he achieved as a player. But I think when you look at the resources he's got, he must have spent about £15 million in players. And my team, Aberdeen, I mean, we're cobbled together from free transfers and pre-contract type signings. You know, our marquee signing in the summer was Craig Bryson, and he's had zero impact. Yet we're managing, although we're a long way behind Rangers points wise in the league, and they've done better than us in Europe, we're competing with them in 90 minutes, and that suggests a big problem at Rangers to me.
David, you're absolutely right in terms of being able to compete with them head to head. In terms of that level of quality, I think it's fair to say that they're ahead by a considerable margin. It's over 20 odd points with a game in hand. So in terms of that general overall, but I'll take your point on board in terms of the head to heads. It has been a bugbear, but even if Steven Gerrard wasn't there, Aberdeen have always caused problems with Rangers. There has been that history for a long time. You recognised that earlier on when you said that. There has always been that gripe, and there's a lovely rivalry between the two clubs. And if Steven Gerrard reflected back now, he probably would have regretted actually saying that at that time, because for me, he was only in the door a couple of months. Yeah. But in terms of competing against Aberdeen, it was his first game.
started talking about things that he couldn't possibly have known about.
Let's keep it to the here and now if we can, David, just whilst we've got you on. I wonder what you thought of yesterday's game. So hang on the line, we can hear from Derek McInnes. He believes they were the better side against Celtic and deserved something from the game. He was happy with the mentality they showed to try and go on and get all 3 points.
Plenty of positives to take for the performance. Really pleased with how the approach was there. I think I've spoke often enough, it's when you play a team like Celtic in such good form with so many good players, for me it has to start in the head before you go into the pitch, and the mindset to go and try and make the game go our way. You will probably say that the conditions were difficult and it's a leveller, but the game's still got to get played for both sets of players, and for me we get after Celtic. I thought we were a better team with Celtic in a back five. When Celtic changed to a back four, I thought we were a better team then, and we spoke at half time about the mentality of the Celtic player next door. At no point did they ever accept not winning, and every one of them next door would be thinking that they're going and they have to go and win the game because that's the demand on them. And we spoke and asked them, our players, that we have to have the exact same mindset, do not settle for a point. And at no point in the game did I think, other than after when they scored, when we would have took a point, but up until they scored the second goal, at no point did my team look as if they were going to settle for a point. It was, you know, I felt the performance was merited something for the game, but unfortunately we don't get any points for the performance.
Were you the better team yesterday, David?
Well, yeah, I think it didn't look like it was going to be Celtic's day at all, you know, the wind and everything like that. And at one each, we actually had a great chance. There was a headed flick on in the box, and Curtis Main was waiting to nod it in, basically a free header. But I think McKenna was kind of got in his way, and the chance was lost. So we could have actually gone 2-1 up. And really, we are, when you think back to the 4-0 game earlier in the season, you know, it was a big improvement on that. So I was pleased with how we competed, but it was really down to having a more having players like Ojo coming back and a more settled defence. We really did suffer badly from injuries. We've got a small squad, but with a more settled team, we showed we could compete as we did the last time at Celtic Park, where, you know, Cosgrove scored that equaliser. Again, I thought we were going to get something out of that game. So we're maybe starting to compete a bit better against Celtic generally, and starting to look like a better team. But we have to, you know, start winning our home games against the likes of Livingston, St Johnstone, and Motherwell. That's where we've fallen down recently.
Third top is the best that Aberdeen or anyone else can do. No one's going to finish above Celtic or Rangers. But you come on and you spoke about Derek McInnes and Aberdeen's performances against Rangers, all of which is perfectly true. But Derek is like Steven Gerrard in the sense that third top, yep, he's got to do that because Aberdeen like to think of themselves as the third force in Scottish football. Derek's had one trophy in 7 years at Aberdeen. I think Derek needs another trophy win at the same time, David.
Thank you very much. That was David in Broomhouse, formerly Shettleston. He's now David in Broomhouse, so you can adjust your address book. Thank you again to David on the line. We should hopefully have a Scottish Cup replay tomorrow, but Stephen Robinson says Motherwell against St Mirren will be touch and go. The weather has been brutal, as I'm sure you know. He also says he's trying to find the right balance in attack after losing both James Scott and Devante Cole.
It'll be touch and go again. I think the forecast, it isn't great, but it is meant to calm down towards the game. So I'm sure we've got a superb groundsman and ground staff, and they'll do everything in their power to get it on. And we're desperate to get it on. You know, we're desperate to play the game and make sure we progress. Well, it would cause a lot of problems in terms of, I don't know where they fit the fixture in. Let's hope we just get it done and dusted, and we're in the next round and we're happy with it. But Saturday's a wee bit different. It was right in the middle of that storm, and you know, the pitch was taking so much water. I believe it was the right decision on Saturday. Chris Long won't be available. Obviously, what people haven't actually mentioned is nobody's mentioned Devante Cole. Nobody's mentioned Devante and James Scott. So, you know, it's something we're aware of, that a lot of physical presence has been taken out of a very successful front three, so we're still trying to find the right combinations and the right way to go about that there at the moment for people to step up and make that impact. So we feel that we're getting there again, and as I said on Friday, there isn't too much wrong, but we'll tweak certain things to make sure that works.
Well, such is the touch and go nature of that replay tomorrow. Remember, the sides were meant to meet in the league at the weekend, so this game was always scheduled anyway. This is not rescheduled from the weekend. Jim Goodwin says he'd love to see Scotland take inspiration from the League of Ireland and switch to summer football. He says it makes perfect sense instead of having games postponed at this time of year.
Yeah, I mean, look, I am a big fan of summer football. You know, there is no doubt about it. I understand that the festive period and the New Year period is a big one in Britain because financially it's great for the clubs. You've got people who maybe live abroad coming home for that time of year and everybody's going out to watch the football on Boxing Day or on New Year's Day. It is a great time of year to be playing, but at the same time, the reason we end up with the backlog of fixtures is because of the postponements due to pitches and adverse weather conditions. So the likelihood is in the summer months, you're not going to get as many postponements due to bad weather. So I would love to follow the League of Ireland, to be honest with you. And you know, they started in fact, they started Friday, their first games, and they'll play right through till October. And then they'll be off November, December, January. It makes more sense to me because of our climate here. It's quite simple. You know, the weather here is bad in these months that we're finding ourselves playing in. So common sense would say to me, we should have a summer league, but I can't see that being decided anytime soon. Certainly not going to be me that makes that call.
This is a show, this is a series of shows on its own for that discussion. Hugh, so I don't expect you to nail the subject in the next 40 seconds or whatever we've got left before the break. But hopefully that goes ahead. Two games between the same opposition in the space of a couple of days in different competitions. If they were both to be off, it would be hugely frustrating.
Yeah. It's interesting though that Jim brings up the summer football argument. Go and see your chairman. Whether it's VAR, summer football, anything else, if you want to start a discussion, go and see your chairman. And go and tell your chairman to go and see the SPFL or the SFA. But if you want a league that closes down November, December, January, Celtic and Rangers will say, we'll be in Europe at that time. Off you go.
Well, interestingly enough, he might find a supporter in Alan Burrows when he goes to Fir Park, because he's been on before. He likes it, but he think the message is, don't hold your breath. I don't think there's much support for it out there. The irony would be, Alex, and this would be, only we could manage this. The big, as Jim Goodwin says there, the League of Ireland did start on Friday.
Yeah, how many was off?
If it had been here, game one of the season would have been off. So yeah, there's no perfect solution. We hope it goes ahead tomorrow. It should be a good cup tie if it does.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity, Gordon, to progress into the next round. Both will feel as if they've got that opportunity. You know, I've looked at St Mirren's recent form. Motherwell's lost a few as well. So very much up in the air.
Well, keep an eye on our social media feeds at Clyde SSB. We'll give you the breaking news, if you like, if there is a decision made on that game tomorrow. And if not, well, we'll be building up to it on tomorrow night's show now. We're going to speak to John Paul on the line very soon. We've got a good teaser coming up for you. I'll give you a flavour. You're going to need to think Rangers in Europe. That's the flavour of this teaser. I'll get the question up and running next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's time for these two to team up. They're an unlikely duo. They sometimes make a good team. But they've got no choice. They're going to have to work together.
Laudlin and Hardy, that's what we are.
On this full-time teaser, something like it. You can decide who's who. I'm not getting involved in that. Anyway, the full-time teaser works like this. If you've never heard it before, you actually provide the questions. That's the beauty of it. So you're pitting your wits, your question against the pundits to see if they can come up with the answers in the last 30 minutes of the show. So tonight, Ross Graham, big thank you to Ross. He's been in touch and he says this. Steven Gerrard's now managed 30 European games at Rangers. Can you name the starting 11 from his first?
Where's Fotheringham?
Steven Gerrard's now managed 30 European games at Rangers. Can you name the starting 11 from his first?
Alan McGregor.
Do you remember what fixture it would be?
His first European game.
What's the famous tie, isn't it? No. Sorry, this question's wrong. I've worded it wrong. We've copied it down wrong. Right, essentially, okay. We're looking for, it's not Steven Gerrard's first game. It's Pedro Caixinhas.
Oh right, okay. Yes. Well, that's definitely,
we're going back. It's the first progress game.
Right, so Fotheringham.
Holt Law.
Whoa, hold on. Where's Fotheringham? Yes. Let's just be clear on that. Just copied it down wrong. So we're looking for
Pedro's.
There's a few details missing from Ross.
Andy,
it's
Halliday.
Pedro Caixinhas. You've got Fotheringham, yes. Halliday, no.
Law.
No.
Holt.
Yes.
Wycorn.
Yes.
Yeah, Waggy, that's right.
anymore.
Windass?
Anymore? No.
Lee Wallace?
Yes. All right, we'll leave it there. Ross Graham sent the question in. Got the wording slightly wrong, but that's fine. We'll forgive you, Ross. Can you name the starting 11 from Pedro Caixinha's first game in charge? So it's the first progress game at home.
Yes.
You've got Fotheringham, Wallace, Holt and Waghorn so far. So we'll leave it there. Let's speak to John Paul in Fauldhouse. Hi, John Paul.
Evening, panel. Gordon, who are you?
Hi, John Paul.
I just want to come on there. I've got 2 points, actually. And the first point, it's about obviously the manner in which Celtic won yesterday. You know, I've been on here and I've realised, like many Celtic fans, have been on and enjoying the way watching Celtic after New Year break and the way they've been going about their business, playing good football, you know. But yesterday I thought Neil Lennon's interview was spot on. It could have went any way. You know, Aberdeen put up a right good fight. They were so compact. They put balls wide and put every chance they got, they put it in the box, you know. And right up until Ayer scored, it looked like it could have went anyway. You know, Celtic had a couple of chances. Aberdeen, albeit had a couple of chances. You know, and it's impressive to see still after winning the 10th trophy in October there, to see the relentlessness and the willingness to go and have the desire to go and win, you know. And that takes me on to my second point. I tried to go on last week and talk about it. Scott Brown, you know, I watched the game and I sometimes like to watch individuals, you know. I've seen it 80 minutes yesterday, he's still going up, he's winning heavily, he's turning around, he's driving his team on, he's getting in wee arguments with the opposition. He drives that team on so much, you know, and I like the players on about him. You've got your Enchams, McGregor, and Lucy Christie, Rogic, you've got all these players, you know. But I really wonder if Celtic didn't have Scott Brown in the middle of the park, really dictating, really driving his team through and driving everybody on, what it's like, you know. And shoot me down if I'm wrong, but is it going to be harder to replace Scott Brown than it is to get 10 in a row? Because we all know that he's coming to end his career, and I'd imagine if we do go on to get 9 and 10, it would probably go in obviously the biggest tie and go down as one of the best captains ever in the club. But how big a replacement is that going to be? Because Celtic's already need to think about that.
Hugh, I feel like you've answered this many times in the past. Yeah. So just put it to Alex first, yeah, on that regard. What do you think, Alex?
Oh, listen, I think they'll be able to replace him in terms of quality, in terms of bringing a player in, but in terms of his leadership, they're like a dying breed. And he's absolutely right in terms of driving that team forward. He got embroiled with Bryson yesterday. He loves it. He actually loves that kind of physical challenge. He's quite quick to front players when he doesn't feel as if they're at it, even though they're winning all these games. And he's a leader within the dressing room. So if they can get another leader, but in terms of bringing a player in of quality, you know, and Shams, very technically very good, but in terms of what he brings to the table, I think that's their hardest part, Gordon, in terms of bringing that leadership, that kind of desire to win. He's done it time after time where they've looked really average at times and he's dragged them over the line.
I'll say something to you, and I'll invite the gentleman on the line just now and everyone else to respond. I think he's the biggest replacement headache for Celtic since Henrik Larsson left, because this guy is a born winner. This guy has led Celtic from the front to 10 domestic trophies in a row, to 8 league titles in a row. And this guy, and I've said this before, is now the best Celtic captain since Billy McNeil, and I don't compare people to Billy McNeil lightly. This guy, I do not know how Celtic replace him. And I'll repeat, the biggest replacement headache since Henrik Larsson.
Surely, John Paul, obviously the day is coming, because that's the way time works. Eventually he'll get told. But surely you're feeling a bit better about it than you maybe would have been, because a couple of years ago people maybe thought that this day would come sooner. But 45 appearances this season doesn't show any sign of slowing down. So maybe you won't have to deal with it in the immediate future.
No, definitely not, you know. And a couple of seasons ago, when it did look like at one point he was really struggling a bit, I think he took the opportunity to reflect and take his sail at the international thing, and then he came back and sat out that and stronger. And again this season he keeps on going on to prove everybody wrong, he keeps on going on looking after himself, right, doing the right things. And as you just said there, I totally agree with him. I think it's a massive replacement that they need to start thinking about doing, you know. I like the way John McGinn when it went ahead, that it could have been one that could have done, but it's so big. And
John Paul, don't start him. Don't get me started.
I'm absolutely loving the fact that he's still gone, and I'm looking forward to seeing if he can keep it going for the next 2 years.
Great stuff. That was John Paul in Fulthouse. Thank you very much. We're going to speak to Andy in Finiston in the not too distant future. Just want to get around as many of today's news stories as we possibly can. Breaking news this afternoon that Hamilton will appeal the red card picked up by Jamie Hamilton in Saturday's game at Hearts. Lots of criticism about refereeing decisions over the weekend. What about that one, Alex? It comes over the top, it hits his chest, then hits his arm. So by most people's understanding of the handball rule as it currently stands, you're meant to get away with that, if you like, if it comes off another body part first. But the officials at Tynecastle didn't think so. He was sent packing, and more crucially for him, he's only 17 and it's his third red card in 12 games.
I think,
will he get this one overturned?
I would be astonished if he doesn't, Gordon, purely for the point of view, under the law, if it hits a body part, then hits your arm, then it shouldn't have been a red card. And I think the officials have got it wrong. And even when you look at the footage, he chests it and he's actually looking away and it hits his left arm, you know. So to say that's and I know intent doesn't come into the wording of the law, Gordon, so I just can't see how this can stand.
I do sometimes talk to you before we go on air, Hugh. Small talk in the office.
Yes.
You have a slightly different view on it, I think.
I think he meant it.
Really? But he's not looking at it though, is he? You can see his head is turning the other way.
I'll say to you, in his defence, I think the referee doesn't have a great view of it. And therefore, how he arrives at the straight red card, I don't know. But I think there's a voluntary movement of the arm to deflect the ball.
I think it's actually the assistant that gives it. I think that's why.
See when as you rightly said, because it's over his head, the referee might have been
But it's the assistant, is it not?
I was going to ask you, if he sees it again, Hugh, under the letter of the law, if it hits like a thigh or a foot and then hits an arm, it should not stand.
I hope he gets away with it. I felt for him when I saw the...
How can you hope he gets away with it if you think it was the right decision?
A person must stand here and give his opinion of what took place, but I really felt for him when he put his jersey over his head. This is a 17-year-old. I've got two grandchildren who are older than Jamie Hamilton, so I feel for him. He's a deep, deep learning curve at the moment. Three red cards in a very short space of time. I just happen to think, and heaven knows I am frequently wrong
sometimes. You got a prediction right yesterday.
Yes. Aberdeen 1 Celtic 2, but I just happen to think there's a little movement of the arm that he flexed the ball his way.
But you think he'll get off with it, Alex?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, I think he will. Alright, that's just one of a number of decisions we could probably debate until next Christmas, but we'll leave it there just because we're going to try and squeeze in Andy in Finiston. Hi, Andy.
How you doing, all guys? Alright?
Good, yeah. Andy, how are you?
Good. Ah, not bad, no. I was trying on last week because we were talking about this, you know, this Dubai thing, this Dubai break, and it was, you know, I was saying to the producer, when I was a young boy, I was in the army, I'd go away and leave for 2 weeks, but as soon as I come back after that 2 weeks, my mind was set. I'm back in the team again, and I had to get, you know, I had to hit the floor running, as they say, you know what I mean? And I just don't think Rangers, whatever they're doing, are they training too hard there, or they're not doing enough? There seems to be something wrong, you know what I mean? They just don't seem to be gelling again. And that was my point, you know?
Well, I'm quite sure that Stephen Gerrard, Gary McAllister, the backroom staff at Rangers, they are vastly experienced men. There's no question in my mind that they weren't doing enough, as you put it, when they were in Dubai. But like you and everyone else, I am mystified that they have returned. The game against Stranraer, which Stephen Gerrard said bored him to watch his own team, you think, okay, that's that out the way. Maybe it's like starting
the cobwebs, isn't it? Get out of the way and go again.
But it didn't happen. It went from bad to worse.
Get why it's a question, Alex. It has Absolutely. To be, because for the second year in a row, it's come after the break in Dubai. However, how do we really know if they're connected? How could you ever know if they're connected? People can have theories, but realistically.
Yeah.
And Hugh makes a fair point. Yes, Stephen Gerrard, Gary McAllister, the fitness staff, the sports scientists, they're very experienced. Teams have got their, what is it you football types call it? Loading.
Yeah,
teams have got their loading wrong in the past. It can happen, but I would imagine, and maybe Stephen Gerrard would answer a question on it, I would imagine they have running stats and whatever to back up the fact that the players aren't, you know, running any less or aren't any more tired than they were. Do you think there is a link, or is it just a coincidence?
I think it's a coincidence, Gordon. But the one key thing is, you can say with certainty, is the actual level of performance coming back from that break last year and this year has impacted the way they've been playing. And I think that'll be a source of frustration for Steven Gerrard and everyone connected. If it was as clear cut as we've done too much loading all there, you know, you come off the legs, you modify the training and things. But as I said yesterday, I thought it was better that they created so much more chances than games that have seen Newcastle. Not a great deal, really. You know, you look at the other games, not great, but they managed to carve out a few good opportunities. If I've been critical, they need to be a lot more clinical.
Because Andy, I'm just wondering, Rangers have now played 9 games since they came back from Dubai. Is it really, whatever you're seeing at the moment, whatever you saw yesterday, can that really still be as a result of something that happened 9 games ago?
Well, even you think so, you wouldn't like to think so, because you think the background staff would be. But see, like, I don't know if we Ryan Kent's trying too hard on it, because he's one of his ratings the last, you know, games have been really bad, and I don't know if he's trying too hard or he's, you know, there's something not right with the wee man, you know what I mean? I mean, he should be one of our star players every week, and his ratings the last 3 or 4 weeks have been terrible. I know he's still a good player, but again, is it mindset? Is he just going through something in his mind that I need to do this because Rangers have paid $7 million for me? Do you know, I'm starting to get a wee worried about him, actually, you know what I mean?
Yeah, funny that, Alex, because I had a tweet there that I was about to read out from Jolly Boy John, 1872, who says Rangers need to leave Kent out for a few games.
Yep.
He's not providing at the moment. He's too predictable. Andy's saying something similar. You said he's dipped in form.
Yesterday.
To the extent, though, that you take him out of the team.
Gordon, I said yesterday after the match that I felt as if it may well be a case of taking him out for his own protection, because he's clearly going through a dip in form. His confidence has dipped as well. And he just needs a break. It may well take him out, put Camberi in, put one of the other guys in. It'll be interesting, because when you look at Rangers over the course of this European campaign, they've always went with flying machines. Up front, they Dojo one time, they Barker, was that over in Porto? And you think to yourself, will he come out with something a wee bit different again, purely because of the way that Braga will play? They have an incredibly high line, and if you can get players breaking that line, Gordon, with 40 yards to bear down on, I think that's something that Steven Gerrard will most certainly look at come Thursday.
It's a unique set of challenges playing in this city for one of the big two, Hugh. Yeah. It's been that way for as long as you can remember. We'll never really know what impact a price tag has on a player, because it's not his fault. Any player, whether it be Ryan Kent or Julian or Edward or anyone, they don't ask for the price tag. I wonder how much the expectation is weighing on someone like Ryan Kent.
I have my suspicions that subconsciously he's feeling the weight of the transfer fee, even though it's not his to set. But I think it's wrong to single out Ryan Kent when there are so many others who've come back from Dubai unrecognisable, to use Steven Gerrard's word. For me, the unique circumstances surround this 9 in a row or not 9 in a row. Celtic have that strength of will that carries them through days even when they're not doing well, but it doesn't carry Rangers through those days, and that is the problem.
Thank you very much. That was Andy in Finiston on tonight's first half teaser. You think it was Saturday? Get my terminology wrong. Full time teaser,
yes,
if you will. Graham sent it in, and we're looking for Steven Gerrard's now managed 30 European games at Rangers, but can you name the starting 11 from Pedro Caixinha's first game? It was a home game against Progress in Niederkorn. You've got Fotheringham, Wallace, Holt, Waghorn so far. Stefan has got, I think, every one of them. I think Stefan has absolutely nailed them. A few other good attempts coming in.
No, we're good to go now. Off
are you?
Tavernier?
Off you go. Yes.
Clint Hill?
No.
Lafferty?
No.
Penna?
No.
Herrera?
This is not going well.
Templeton?
Nope.
Black?
Oh, no, your mail's out now. I think we can leave it there. You're doing okay. Fotheringham, Tavernier, Wallace, Holt and Waghorn. You can maybe help them out on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Who do you think's missing Pedro Caixinha's first European game in charge of Rangers, home to Progress Niederkorn? Who are the guys missing? We'll find out next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
on the home stretch with Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray. A couple of things that they need to tick off though before we let them go. They need to answer all the questions on the full time teaser, and we're going to take some more calls as well. So tonight's question, Ross Graham sent it in, and if you want to hear your question on the show in the future, we would love to have it. So send them in to fulltime@clyde1.com. That's fulltime@clyde1.com. Tonight says this: can you name the starting 11 from Pedro Caixinha's first European game in charge of Rangers? It was the home game against Progress Niederkorn. You've got Fotheringham, Tavernier, Wallace, Holt and Waghorn. Good response on Twitter. Mitchell has thrown Barry Mackay into the mix, but I can tell you that's wrong. What else are you thinking?
Bruno Alves.
No.
Joey Gardner.
Nope.
Barton.
Nope.
We're struggling. 10 minutes.
One of them is still there, so who might that be?
Did I say Halliday, didn't I? I hadn't said that.
Oh, you had said it, it's just not right.
So somebody's still there.
Middle of the park. Was there then, is still there now.
Jack?
Yeah, Ryan Jack.
Good shout.
Five to get, we'll get them soon. Let's speak to Geoffrey, who's a Rangers fan from Giffnock. Hi Geoffrey.
Hello there, how are you?
Not too bad, how are you? What's on your mind tonight?
Right, I had a wee bit of a concern yesterday about the game being on. I would like to ask Alex what the state of the pitch was after the game. And also, now that we're in the last 32, VAR is going to be in operation. My understanding is that, from what I've heard today, the Copenhagen game is going to be one of the games involved with it. And I would just like to know what Hugh thinks of VAR, but what it's the effect is going to be in the last 32.
Yeah, good questions. Let's go first, Alex, on the pitch. We had this really weird situation. I can't, Hugh, you go back
years.
Yeah, do you remember last time we'd such a high profile game called off one day and then replayed the next in a league game?
I can't ever remember it happening.
Yeah. Anyway, it did happen, yeah. Alex, what sort of state was the pitch in?
Gordon, I tend not to go down to the pitch. I just thought I'll take a wee stagger down the tunnel just to have a look. I went out with the centre circle, and it was a wee bit soft, as you would imagine, due to the amount of rain. A bit patchy on places, and I don't think it cut up greatly over the course of the 90 minutes. The grounds, I reckon there must have been 8-10 guys on there directly afterwards, putting on the lamps. You're sorting out all the divots. The
problem is, it wasn't looking great beforehand. Absolutely. You know, Stephen Gerrard was the one who criticised it a couple of weeks ago.
Gordon, it's not ideal. If you're trying to play good football on it, it's not ideal. And unfortunately, the weather between now and Thursday is going to be rain as well. So there's a good possibility of that. So I don't expect it'll be any better. But in saying that, I haven't seen Braga playing. You know, it might well be a case of just rolling up the sleeves. Big European night, big crowd. And get in amongst them, because I seen them on Saturday, Braga. I seen them in the summer. They're a good outfit, and you know, they're in a very good place at the moment.
VAR, Hugh.
Yeah.
We don't know when, if or when we'll get it domestically, but we're getting it this Thursday.
Yeah, and everyone can have a trial run, because it will be used at all matches in the round of 32 in the Europa League. Now, you know, it can get things right. We watched the Aston Villa Spurs game yesterday, and we were all in agreement that, oh, never a penalty. VAR did its job, penalty, and rightly so. So it will get things right. But I think that people thought of VAR as meaning infallibility. From now on, everything will be black or white, and it will be 100% correct. It's not.
Yeah, the thing is, Alex, just before we speak to Geoffrey again, we are very hard on ourselves, our game, our referees, and by the way, rightly so. You know, if they make mistakes, that's fine. But still, someone has to interpret VAR. And whilst we're all determined to say that Scottish referees are the worst ever, one of the worst refereeing decisions that Rangers have had this season came in Europe, when Alfredo Morelos didn't get the penalty. Was that Feyenoord, when the defender was all over the top of him, bundled him down, inexplicably
didn't give it?
You can't blame Scottish referees for that. And what happens if that goes to VAR and that's interpreted to, you know, so yes, it should hopefully cut down on mistakes, but there's no guarantee.
God, it's already been interpretation. The chap who done the game against Porto that night had done the Champions League final.
Was it Porto? Sorry, I thought it was the final.
I think it was Porto, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. But anyway, whatever it was, he done the final. But what I'm saying is that even these top referees get bad decisions. I actually quite like the fact, I know VAR gets battered, I like the fact that since there's been, again, there have been a few instances where Rangers, Morelos was onside one time and it got chopped off. And so I quite like the fact it's coming in. I think it'll add a lot more to this show as well. I'm sure there'll be plenty of debates over the coming weeks.
Absolutely. Because we're really short on debates about refereeing decisions. Let's let Jeffrey back in, Hugh.
Right. Hugh, I disagree with you about the young man from Hamilton. If you watch it again, when he got the ball, it was coming from behind him, right? And I think the way it hit off his chest and it hit off his arm, right? How can you say that's a penalty? It was not deliberate. It was not, in my opinion, I don't think it was deliberate. He was just unfortunate the way the ball came down to him. I mean, it frustrates me. Where was the referee? I mean, I don't think he was even near how he could see it.
I think it was the linesman,
sorry
Jeffrey.
For him.
I think the linesman's the one that's looking across the line.
Listen, Jeffrey, it's all a matter of personal interpretation. As I say, I feel for Jamie Hamilton. He's been involved in a tough school for the last 2 or 3 months. I just happen to think that he gave the ball a voluntary touch in his favour.
Thank you very much. That was Jeffrey in Giffnock rounding things off nicely for us tonight. You've still got loads of work to do. You need to give us many more names from Pedro Caixinha's first European lineup at Rangers. Fotheringham, Tavernier, Wallace, Holt, Jack and Waghorn. Who else? This could be one of the worst performances ever from you two. And that is saying something.
Yeah, I agree.
Right, come on, defence. Let's think.
Two centre-halves.
Right, none of them are there anymore, as you might imagine.
Who was the...
One is Scottish, though. One is not.
Yeah.
Right, we're going to need serious clues. The song's... The tune has started.
McGregor?
No.
Darren McGregor?
No. Ginger hair.
Oh, he's Germany now. Bates.
David Bates. Right, who alongside him ended up with a bloody nose against Motherwell in the Cup semi-final? That was one of his main... incidents here, really. There wasn't much else to it. Portuguese. I'm going to need to put you out of your misery on these. Cardoso.
Oh.
Cardoso. Bates. Right. Jesus. Up front alongside Waghorn. Just hung up his boots recently.
Miller.
Kenny.
What about just behind him then? Creative. What a player in his day, just to the time he came up here. The legs.
Nico.
Cranchar.
Nah, we're getting there, Hugh.
And I knew this one would be last. Remember Dalcio? Anyone?
Yeah.
No?
Stop it.
Serious?
You started that night. Well, says it all, doesn't it?
There we go.
Try to raise this and you're bringing it back up.
Thank you, Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray. We're back from 6 o'clock tomorrow. Gordon DL and Roger Hanna building up to a big week in the Europa League. In the meantime, stay right there. Callum Gallagher's up next with the script.
Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.